Over this last week, I was reading from a Christian Jewish, Messianic Jewish scholar, Bible scholar. And he was very in-depth into calculating the dates and the times and the years and the months. And I learned an awful lot from this article because I didn't know that when someone in the Old Testament would say in a week, you know, we think that it's a week, but it could be a week of days, could be a week of months, could be a week of years. And it all depends on the context as to how you calculate these things. Well, he went and he calculated exactly when the Messiah was supposed to appear from prophecy. And his calculations brought him to the year 28 AD. And that's exactly the time when our Lord started his ministry. And then 3 years later, at 31, he was crucified. Now, a lot of people will ask, well, what do you mean 31? It says it should have been 33. But in fact, it says our Lord was born 4 years before. So he was born in 4 BC. And I know that a lot of times we think of AD and BC as before Christ and after his death, but that has nothing to do with it. So if you calculate from 4, eliminate the 0, because there was no 0, and go forward, is you'll see that it fell right on time. And he calculated exactly when the Messiah was to come, and from those calculations, it says he accepted that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. It's amazing, amazing. I learned a lot. I was just sat there with my mouth open because I hadn't realized that there was that kind of actual mathematical proof of the Christ. So he said that the Christ was supposed to come that time, and he did come at that time. Well, it didn't influence me. I mean, I already believed that he was the Messiah. But I think that many Jews are coming and accepting Christ because of these types of Bible scholars and these types of individuals who are figuring these things out and presenting them to the Jewish faith as well. Now, the question is, when is he going to return? Now, everybody in the world is all, you know, evangelicals and Protestants and Catholics and Orthodox, and everybody is trying to figure out the date and the time that he's going to return. Now, my theory is the reason we want to know when he's going to return is so that we can continue being our wicked, bad selves until a couple of weeks before, and then we're going to be good. And that's why it's so important for us to know the exact time. But the reality is that we don't know the exact time of his return. But many have tied it to the second millennium. Now, the second millennium, you remember the Y2K, and everybody was figured that the whole world is going to collapse and come apart. And there were some Christians that were saying, and the Messiah is going to come in, and the apocalypse, and blah, 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 blah. And all the computers were going to shut down, and we're going to go back into the caveman days. Well, it didn't happen. But 2000 was not the end of the second millennium. The end of the second millennium would be 2,000 years after either Christ started his ministry or after his ascension. So 2,000 years would be 2028 through 2031. So if, in fact, that is the time that our Lord is going to return, says, are we ready? How much time do you need to get ready? Are you going to wait till the last minute like college students? Wait to do your study and cram for the exams at the last minute? Or are we going to continue and be the way and follow the instructions that our Lord has given us? Here, our Lord has given us some very, very simple instructions. You know, sometimes we just make things so complicated. He's given us very simple instructions. He's really only given us three instructions. He says, do this in remembrance of me. Surely I say to you, if you do not eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. He says, this is what he said. This is an instruction. He says, if you accept me, you must also receive the Eucharist. Next he says, go out into the world and preach the gospel. Tell people about the good news. And those people that accept it, baptize them and bring them in to the church. So these are the things that he has instructed us to do. And they are not difficult things. He's told us to love one another. He told us to love God and our neighbor. The third instruction is exactly that. It's the sheep and the goats. He says you have to give and help and provide for those in need. You have to go and visit people that are sick. You have to go to the prisons and visit those people that are in the prisons. And while you are in the prison, he says, preach the good news. And if they accept the good news, says, encourage them and help them to be baptized. My friends, that's it. That's really all that Jesus instructed us to do. Now, he gave us many examples of how he lived his life, so we use these examples as well. So we know that during his life, that he fasted. We know that during his life, that he was a good person, but he also didn't have any worldly possessions. That's one that we have a hard time with, is taking our worldly possessions and not necessarily giving them all away, but taking of these worldly possessions and helping to provide for others. But these are the only instructions that he left us. Now, God the Father gave us the Big Ten instructions. He says, live your life in this way. He says, now why do we live our lives in that way? Because God is standing over us with a club to punish us if we don't? No. He says, I gave you free will, and now I'm giving you instructions on how you should use that free will. But you still have free will. And if you choose to abandon them, then you are abandoning God. So the Ten Commandments, instructions that were given to us for our own good. And when we follow them, we feel better. Our life is better. Because our society is better. Because we have laws, these laws not of vengeance, not of laws of revenge. It says, but laws that create an equality, that makes sense. And we see in today's world that we're trying to get rid of these laws. They're saying, get rid of the Ten Commandments, separation of church and state. He says, well, what do you mean, get rid of the Ten Commandments? All they are is God's instructions to us. And they're valid because they make sense. If you have a real hang-up, if you're an atheist, you say, okay, well, I don't believe in God. Okay, well, you don't believe in God, fine. But these instructions make sense. So this is where our whole legal system, our whole justice system is built on. So what's the problem? He said, but, my friends, is the instructions. God has given us instructions. Now, you can follow the instruction, or you can try to do it on your own. Now, I remember many, many, many Christmas Eves putting toys together for my children. And I never followed the instructions until I had messed up the whole project. And then I would pull the instruction sheet out and say, oh, now I get it. That piece is not supposed to go there. And I'd be up all night long putting stuff together. And then, of course, the kids are up before daybreak, and they want to open them. I just got done putting the last piece of tape on, and they wanted to open them. But this is, the instructions are there for a reason. He says, we say sometimes that life doesn't come with an instruction book, but it does come with an instruction book. He says it comes with our Lord's teachings and our Father's teaching. He says these are our instructions, and everything else is just waste. Okay? So the instructions are what we are to follow, and I encourage us not to wait till the last minute to pull out the instruction sheet and try to figure out all the things that we've screwed up in our lives. But look at the instruction sheet from now and go over these instructions and live by these instructions, so that when our Lord does come, says we will be a finished product, put together correctly and put together on time. If he is truly coming after the second millennium, then we don't have a whole lot of time left. And we certainly don't want to get into heaven and leave our children out. So we must teach our children these instructions and as well. Remember, it's not difficult. These instructions are not complicated, but these instructions are what we must follow. Love God, love our neighbors, do good to others, and receive the Eucharist. That's it. And all of the Ten Commandments have been combined into these. So if you do these, then you are following all of the instructions from the Father and from the Son.